Hallelujah.
We praise your holy name, Father. There is none other like you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 God. Glory to your name, God. Oh, we worship and praise you. We hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus.
Father, you are worthy this morning.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You're worthy to be praised with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength. You're worthy, Lord God, to get our attention and beyond that, Lord. You're worthy, Lord God, hallelujah, to be recognized here in this temple, Father, this morning. You're worthy, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, Lord God, for your music, for your musicians and your praise worshipers, Lord God. We thank you this morning for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you promised to do in the future. We thank you this morning. We thank you for the service that you have orchestrated, Lord God. Hallelujah. To bring us back into remembrance of you, Lord God, this Sunday morning. Father God, as the service go forward, we just simply ask that you dispatch angels. Fill this room. Fill this room with your presence. Now, Lord God, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, music team. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. All the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for these young folks to get their mama and daddy. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. How's everybody doing this morning? All is well? You know, I thank God that God has instituted in our hearts and in our culture to come together at least weekly, you know, to glorify God and remember all that he's done and all that he's doing for us. I thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the devil goes around, the Bible says, like a roaring lion, seeing who he can mess up. You ever have anybody say something to you or do something to you and it just discourage you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You remember that feeling? You know, you just feel so hurt.
Yes.
So down, so whatever. You feel like you're losing it. You feel like you've already lost it. Hallelujah. You know, the devil will use everybody and anybody around you that are not saved, who have not committed their lives to the Lord, to keep you upset. If you haven't felt that upset feeling yet, just keep breathing. Amen. When those times comes, you need to know how and need to have a heart to encourage yourself.
Amen.
The devil's not going to go away. Not during our lifetime here on earth this time. Or this sea. He's not going to go away. So if one thing don't get you, then he'll do the next thing. Amen. And he will use the people closest to you to keep you hurt, to keep you discouraged, to keep you down. He will do that. And you and I have got to position ourselves where no matter what the devil throw at us, we want to encourage ourselves so we can get up and go again. If nobody's discouraged you this week, well, you live next week. Amen. See what the devil does. He's not going to stop. But what can happen is that you can gird yourself up to a point where it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter who he uses. Amen? That's why the Bible talks about, listen, that's why the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. I think that's got to be the roughest thing when you're married to an unbeliever and you're a believer. You know, because the devil will use that person to keep you upset constantly. I'm not just talking about on Tuesdays. I'm talking about constantly, constantly, constantly. And then here you are, you've taken this vow till death do us part. Can't go nowhere, can't do nothing. But what you can do is encourage yourself in the Lord. Everybody said a few words. Encourage yourself. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, learning to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because it's not over. He hasn't stopped. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I can laugh about it now. Hallelujah. But there was a couple of times I was kind of mad. The devil will do that. He'll use your children. He hasn't used your children yet, your unsaved children yet. He'll use your children. And you want to just grab them by the neck and twist it 6 times. But you can't do that. Or he'll use your sibling, maybe your brother or your sister. I'm talking about your natural brother or your sister that's not saved. And they'll just get on your last nerve. Or maybe it's an extended family member, a cousin, an uncle, aunts, whatever, niece or nephew, whatever. He'll just use those folks. Amen? And when it's somebody close to you, you love them so much, all you want to happen is for them to change. Can I get an amen on that? But while they are traveling toward where we're trying to get them to, you just got to be encouraged. You got to be encouraged. Because if you don't encourage them, so let me tell you something. The devil will work on you so bad, you want to go get you a pint of gin or something. You want to go get some of that vodka. You want to go get some of that stuff you can smoke or something. You know that old stuff you used to do? He'll say, go ahead, just relax yourself. You'll need that. You got to be able to tell him, no, you're a liar, devil. And encourage yourself in the Lord. God is good all the time. Amen. I want to take it to 2 Timothy, a scripture we've been reading every Sunday for the last 4 Sundays. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days, brothers and sisters, we're living in the last days, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You just need to expect that. You know, we go to church and we pray and all that, and what we expect, I don't know if I want to use that word expect, but what we want is for life to just be so smooth. That's what we want, right? We want to have good relationships with everybody. We want people to talk nice things about us, right? We want everything to go smooth. Even in the material world, we want everything to go smooth. We don't want nothing to break down. We want to have enough money to do everything. Hallelujah. As soon as you done saved up $65, hallelujah, all of a sudden, the hot water heater breaks. Now, you know you ain't going to live without hot water. So here that little $65 gone. And you're probably going to have to go borrow some more. And you feel so discouraged. God said you're going to have to learn to encourage yourself during those times. You've got to be able to do that. Many things are going to come up in our future that's going to make us want to quit. That's going to make us want to give up our walk with the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what in the world could happen to make me want to go back? I'm going to tell you now. Now, I hope you have never experienced anything like that. But I know that old devil. You don't know what you can handle until you have to handle it. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. You don't know what you have to handle until you have to handle it. So until you learn to encourage yourself with the Lord, you need to do it now. Amen. You need to start teaching yourself now how to encourage yourself. So when those things come, listen, it won't get you off course. I won't say it won't bother you, but it won't get you off course. It'll allow you to still stay walking with God and going forward and listening for that peace and following that peace. But if you're not prepared, some things have come up in your life that make you want to quit. There's still a lot of people right now, listen, within the body of Christ. When I say within the body of Christ, there's a lot of people that's in church that we know church that just really not rooted and grounded in God. And when things come up, they panic. They panic and they fall apart. And if they're not careful, they'll wind up doing things against the will and the way of God. God said, you got to learn to encourage yourself. Things are not always going to go the way you want them. I want to let you know that. They're not. Some things that come into your life just shatters everything. Anybody ever experienced anything like that? Amen. Well, you were never even thinking about those things, but then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. You got to deal with it. What in the world? There's some things that might come up in your life that just embarrass you. And you want to stay in your kitchen forever. Never go outside the doors. But if you learn to encourage yourself, you can deal with that as well. So things are not always going to go the way you want them, but they will always turn out right if you learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Somebody say, help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Hallelujah. We all like peaceful lives. We all like things to go right for us all the time, 100% of the time. But I'm telling you, we're in a battle. And if any way the devil can get in there, he's going to get in there. So many marriages have broken up within the church because the devil come in there, listen, and you don't know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And before you know it, you done something, said something, believed something, hello, act something out that caused a division. Sometimes a permanent division. This thing is real, folks. We're in war. Let me just review a few things that we've talked about. Now, we've been talking about the era of the time of Samuel and Saul and David and that realm and what all has been going on. And we've been using that background to just talk about walking with the Lord. Because that's what this whole thing's all about. Amen? Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you are a good church member or not anywhere. Amen? What matters is that 24 hours, 7 days a week, you're walking with the Lord. That's what this thing is all about. You're moving, you're breathing, you're doing, you're saying what God does for you. You're moving with Him. That's what we've been talking about, walking with the Lord. Amen? Don't get wrapped up in that trip. Well, I'm a good church member. Look, nobody cares if you're a good church member. Amen? I know the devil don't. But he don't want you to walk with God. He don't want things to line up the way God wants them to line up in your life. And sometimes, once again, that door opens and he gets in there somehow, some way, and he will discourage you. But it won't work if you learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Let me just review a few things that we said so far. We said that Samuel had anointed David to be king after Saul. Everybody remember that. And then David had proved his strength and bravery in the past. Thirdly, Saul had become jealous of David and tried to kill him many times. Many times. Most of us would have given up by now. Fourthly, David had joined the Philistines and had been living with them for 16 months. The Philistines was the enemies. But to get away from Saul, he went where and lived with the enemies. You know he had to be just desperate. And then the last thing I want to say as a form of review is that the Philistines now is about to go fight the Israelites, and David tries to go with them. Now, you know that's not going to work. That's not going to work. That's like your next door. That's like your next door neighbor. Listen, say, come on, come and go with me, and we're going to fight your mom and daddy. No, you ain't going to fight my mom and daddy. Not with me. But David was trying to prove himself, come on, because he was desperate. He was desperate. And it turned out in such a way, if you know the story, it turned out in such a way where the Philistines, some of their leaders, didn't want David and his men to go with him. So they told him, go back to your hometown, and their hometown was a place called Ziklag. So he went, that was God, let me tell you something. Because David didn't need to show up in those Israelites' territory with the Philistines. He did not need that. He didn't need it. There was still too many people left behind that had faith in David. But if they show him riding on a horse with the enemy, he never would have been king. He never, never, never would have been king. So now that leads us, now I use this story, come on, to just kind of bring out some points that we want to bring out when we talk about learning to encourage yourself in the Lord. So our story opens up in 1 Samuel chapter 30 in the first six verses. David is rejected by the Philistine leaders, and he and his men, there was a whole bunch of them, they go back to their hometown of Ziklag. Now let's see what happens. And it says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, took them 3 days to get there, that the Amalekites, that's another group of enemies, had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So the whole town burned down and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any. They didn't kill any of them. Come on. Either great or small, but they carried them away. Now, how'd you feel about that? Listen, you're getting ready to go join the enemy to fight your people. Hallelujah. You get rejected from that. You go back home and you find out that the city is not only burned down, but all your loved ones have been taken captive. Amen. Now, I know the thing that comes to my heart, that David's men didn't want to go fight the Israelites anyway. But David wanted to prove that he was loyal to the Philistines. So David had to convince his men to come go with me. Let's go fight with these Philistines. So they didn't want to fight anyway. And now they come back, 3 days journey. They come back and everything they had is gone. Now, you know those folks mad at David. Amen. You know they mad at David. That's how the devil works. That's how the devil won't work with you. There's going to come a time when people be mad at you. And you're going to have to just encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? Amen. You're going to have, God is good all the time. Hallelujah. I think we left off at verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they cried, until they had no more power to cry. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Remember, Nabal died. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed. You ever been greatly distressed? You ever had something just knock you off your feet? You ever had something happen? You ever had somebody say something or do something to you? You just don't know what to do. You're mad, you're angry, you're sad, you're just all over the place. That devil, I'm telling you, he is something else. We need to keep in mind who we're fighting, who it's all about. The Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I don't care what people are doing to you or have done to you or said to you that was out of place. It's not the people. It's always the devil. Amen. That's why God tells you, don't wrestle with flesh and blood. That's not the enemy. That's not the enemy at all. And it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I'd be distressed too. Amen. If everybody want to kill me. Because the souls of all the people were grieved, and every man for his son and for his daughter. Now, David already knew the solution. Listen, let me just stop right here. The problem was bad. And you're going to have some bad situations. We all are. Because there's a devil out there. You think he's going to leave you alone? You think the devil's going to come to you and say, well, you know, that's so-and-so. No, that's a nice person. Don't bother him. Oh, no. But David had the solution, even though he was grieving, even though his heart was sad, even though his men were mad at him, even though they wanted to kill him, he had a solution. And the rest of that verse tells us what the solution was. It says, but David did what? Encourage himself in the Lord his God. Amen. So that's what you and I need to do. Listen to me. When the devil shows up somehow, some way, and bring discouragement into our lives, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, our God. It's coming. It's coming. Don't get to the place where you say, well, I'm never going to talk to that person again. Don't do that, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? It's the enemy behind that person that's trying to get you to get out of place. Or it's coming for all of us. If it hasn't already come, I know it's come to me at least a dozen times, where you just feel like you just want to give up. But you got to constantly encourage yourself in the Lord. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me take you back today. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. And let's see what David does here. Verse 7, it says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, he said, I pray you, I'm begging you, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And verse 8 said, now let's look what David did in verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord. Let me just stop right there. I don't know why, when things come up, you and I want to figure it out what we're going to do. Stop doing that. Stop it. You don't know what to do. That's why you're all upset. David inquired of the Lord. So when things go wrong, hallelujah, are you with me? You got children that's unsaved. You got loved ones. You got friends that's acting crazy. You got spouses that not moving the way you want them to. David inquired of the Lord. Why is that so hard for you and I to do? When the devil gets in there some sort of way, why is it so hard for us to just inquire of the Lord? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, why is it so hard for us to just go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? I know what I want to do, but what do you want me to do? And I think one of the reasons we don't do it is because our pride. We tell ourselves how much knowledge we have and how much wisdom we got and how much whatever we got, and we don't do it. We just try to figure the situation out ourselves. We just try to move the situation around. Listen, David inquired of the Lord. That's what you and I need to do to encourage ourselves. Listen, ask God, what do you want me to do? It may be anything. Maybe you, those of you that are working, maybe you go to work on Monday and the boss said, look, we cut your position out. They ain't no use you telling the boss, look, I got these bills over here. I can't quit today. No, if the boss say you quit today, that it's over. You say, well, what I'm going to do, preacher? Well, what you need to do is inquire of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Are you with me? It's all right to talk it over with your spouse, but inquire with the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And in marital relationship, let me just say this. In marital relationship, because God has brought two people together that are different, there's always going to be something come up. There's always going to be something. I don't know how Sister Eva keep making things come up that frustrate me. I'm saying, why don't you see it the way I see it? Anybody else ever done that?
Amen.
And she's saying, what's wrong with that guy? Why don't he see it the way I see it? All we got to do when the situation come up is go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Stand still until the answer comes, and then do whatever God tell you to do, because it's always going to be the right thing, right?
Amen.
But meanwhile, until you get that answer, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. God is good all the time. And let me go back to verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after these people? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue. God's always going to answer you. He's always going to tell you what to do. He says, pursue them, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, you're going to get everything back. Everything they took, all the people, all the stuff, you're going to get it back. This is God talking. Don't you see why it's so important to inquire of God? Yeah. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. And then inquire of God and then do what he tell you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm having fun just growing up in the Lord. Just learning new stuff. Just new stuff. I've convinced myself, listen, Dan, you know too much. Or you think you know too much. And that's because of problems in my life at times. But I've learned, look, all I gotta do is go to God and say, what do you want me to do? Just like a little child. The Bible says, except you be like a little child. But we don't want to be like a little child. We want to have our way. We want to fix it. No, you can't fix it. But until it gets fixed, you just need to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Three ways I want to share with you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Three ways. The first thing that you need to do is remember what God has already done for and through you. Has God done anything for you? Anything at all? Amen. Anything? Amen. So you need to remember that. I would encourage, listen, if nothing else, I would encourage everybody in the sound of my voice, listen, when you go home, make a list. Make a list. And listen, you could just speak it into your phone. You ain't even got to write it. Make a list of all the things, hallelujah, that God has done for you that you remember. Amen? And when you get to that place of struggle, you go back. Before you get to arguing with anybody and all that, go back and read your list. The same God that did those things, hey, amen, is the God that's going to fix this situation. Are you with me? The same God. But so we easily forget. We forget. God has done so many things for everybody in this room. Amen. That our lists really need to be a book. But we so easily forget. And then we get in those situations and we want to be in control and want to have our way. Your way probably got you in that mess. Amen. Go back and read that list of all the things that God has already done for you. So it would be easy for you to take that situation to the Lord. Amen? God is just waiting. God is just waiting for us. He doesn't interfere in our lives. He's just waiting for us to ask for help, to ask for a change in situation. He's just waiting for us to ask him to turn the situation around. He's just waiting for us to ask for solutions, the immediate solution to that situation, whatever it is. Hallelujah. But if you don't encourage yourself in the Lord, you'll just be operating on your own power, your own skills, your own whatever. So the first way to encourage yourself in the Lord is to remember what God has already done for you. Just remember that. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody here willing to make a list? I hear some amens. Amens. But I know next Sunday when I say, okay, bring your list. Let me see your list. I forgot. I'll never ask you for your list. Amen. Amen. But maybe God is speaking to us through me right now, saying make a list. Because what's coming down the road, you're going to need to believe me. You're going to need to believe in me. You're going to need to believe that I can do all things. Make the list. Take 10 minutes, take 15 minutes, whatever. Make a list. Hallelujah. So many miracles God's already worked in our lives. You know you didn't do it. The second way to encourage yourself is to remember the promises of God. I want you to say that with me. Remember the promises of God. And I'm going to just share with you just five quick promises out of the Bible of God. That's just five. I mean, my God, you get into the Bible. But these are five I think that are meaningful to all of us. First of all, he promised to be with you. Ah, if we didn't go no further, let me tell you something. If he's with me, then no matter what the devil throw at me, all I got to do is turn my head to the left. What do you want me to do? Ha, ha. Are you with me? But if your left shoulder is hurting, turn your head to the right and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Ha! He's with you. He's promised. Ah. We act like we by ourselves. You're not by yourself. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God says, have I not commanded you, talking to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, talking to us as well. And then he said, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with you. What are you scared of? Hallelujah. What are you afraid of? That's a promise from God. That he'll never leave us or forsake us. Are you with me? So all you got to do is look straight ahead or look behind you or look to the left or look to your right and say, God, what do you want me to do? Ha! Because he's right there. That's a promise. But so many times we move through life is because that's all we know to do. We move through life as if we're by ourselves. You're not by yourself. The Lord has promised to be with you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what that's like? Listen. I always like to give you an example of what that's like. It's like having a rich daddy. A rich daddy. I don't care what you think rich is, but a rich daddy. All right? And your daddy said, listen, whenever you go shopping, I want to go with you. Ooh-hoo. And when your rich daddy go to the store with you, come on now, and you look through the stores, one of the things that should happen is you stop looking at price tags. You know how we do, right? The ladies do it even more than the men, I think. But but when your rich daddy is with you, why you think he want to be with you? So he can pay for whatever you get. Ha! I think we missed that. He's promised to be with us. And if your rich daddy go shopping with you, let me tell you something. You're not worrying about money. You're not, that's the last thing you're worried about. You're not worried about whether or not you paid your bill on your credit card. You're not worried about all of that. You're not worried about none of that. Because one of the things that you know is that daddy's got it. Everybody say that, daddy's got it. Daddy's got it. Ha ha! Whoa! We're trying to fix so many things when daddy's got it. Oh, good. God is something else, isn't he? The second promise that I want to share with you that God has done comes out of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He's promised that nothing will ever hurt us. Hallelujah. Luke 10, 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemies, and nothing, everybody say nothing. Nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt you. For many of us, the devil has imparted fear into our lifestyle. Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? What? What are you afraid of? Nothing's going to hurt you. Ha ha. Nothing's going to hurt you. You say, well, preacher, you don't know. No, I don't know. Amen. But God's saying he's promised that nothing's going to ever hurt you. Ah. He promised that. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, look, God is good. Let me wait till I get to healing here in a minute. But Isaiah 54, verse 17. This is what the word of God says. Now, we need to value this word of God. I did not write the book. I did not. I don't know anybody that's living that wrote the book. God used men to write the book, but the words came from God. Isaiah 54, 17, he said, no weapon. Everybody say no weapon. No weapon. No weapon. I like that word, no. No weapons. I don't care what you do, what you manufacture. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. In every tongue, everybody say every tongue. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about people talking about you. You really don't have to worry about it. You know, in my 39 years being here in the city, I've had to take a stand on many things that were not right. And I've had many people talk against me. Many of them, if not most of them, are gone. Gone early. Gone early. You gotta watch what you say about God's people. I'm telling you. You really gotta watch. This thing is real. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is your heritage. God said, "You this comes with the package. Amen. This comes with the package. Amen. You thought all you, when you say I'm getting saved, you're gonna just join a church. No, 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 no. With salvation comes a lot of promises. He says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Hallelujah. And the righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So he's promised that nothing ever gonna hurt you. Nothing mean nobody. Oh, we ought to be some bold people. Bold people. Bold people. Now, if you're in a situation where you're working for somebody, don't ever let them convince you to do wrong. Because you're afraid you're gonna lose that little job. Amen. Nothing's gonna hurt you. Absolutely nothing. The third promise of God. I like this promise here. He promised to heal you. Amen. Ah. Now, we really need to do a lot of teaching on this sickness thing. Really. With salvation comes the removal of your sins and removal of sickness. Ah. We don't talk a lot about that. I'm saying we as a body of Christ, we don't talk a lot about that. Sickness comes in as we open the doors and the windows. Are you with me? But you're supposed to be a walking well person. And when it comes in, listen to me now. When it comes in, if you understand this, you have the power to get it out. I'm not saying it's never going to come into your life. I don't know what you're doing or what window you open or what door you open or whatever. You know, but sickness is not for us. It's not. I don't know why the body of Christ hasn't been teaching on that thing. The word tells you that. Salvation brought a lot of stuff to you, especially the removal of sin and sickness from you. If the devil sneaks in there and gets into your body, hallelujah, and you go to a medical professional, if that's what you choose to do, and they tell you what the problem is. Listen, there's power inside you to get rid of that problem. You see, I better explain this just a little bit better here. I don't want nobody misunderstanding what I'm saying. Listen, until you have the faith to walk into what I'm telling you about, that's why God, I believe that's why God put the medical professionals there. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hallelujah. I believe that's why. Because our level of faith may not be there at that. It don't make you a bad person. It's all about growth. It's all about growth. But I'm telling you that there's something inside you that when the wrong thing gets in you, you got the power to get it out. But until you get there, hallelujah. Do what you got to do. God is a good God all the time. Amen? Do what you got to do. Hallelujah. That's why that going to God is so important. Let me take you to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. He's talking to the Israelites here. Why? For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Now the difference is, he's talking to a group of people that belong to God, but they weren't saved. And the difference is that when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes inside you. Oh, it comes inside you. And the same power that Jesus demonstrated now lies in us. That's why Jesus said greater things than this. Greater things than what I've done, you're going to be able to do them. But we don't do them because we don't understand them and we don't believe it. But as your belief level gets higher and higher, you'll understand. Listen, you'll be able to walk in that posture and believe that, wait, sickness doesn't belong to me. So if it's gotten in through the window, I'm getting it out. And you have the power. You have the power to call those things that be not as if they are. Oh, we're gonna wake up to this thing one of these days. God is a good God all the time. So we see that healing was promised even back in the Old Testament to those folks that belonged to God, but they weren't saved. They didn't have the Spirit of God inside them like you have and like we have. Hallelujah. I don't know how to say that to make us all understand that, because we can't see the power. We can't feel the power. We can't smell the power. We can't hear the power. But it's there. That's why Jesus, come on, could be bold enough to say, therefore, whatsoever things you want, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. That's power. But we, as a culture, haven't got to the place where we believe that. So my first job is to at least put it out there. And as you get in that word and exercise that word and walk in this word, it's going to become real to you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And see, when it becomes real to you, you can say things like, look, we're not going to lose one. Because we can call it to be. When you get to that point, you can say, listen, I'll never be broke another day in my life. If Jesus could call money into the mouth of a fish, come on now. We're just walking in this religious thing, just like the people before Christ. All they had was religion. But you and I got power. We got power. Start with the little things. He's promised to heal you. So if you get sick, I ain't got to get into all that, or how you got sick. But if you get sick, understand there's some power inside you. There's some power inside you. If the faith that you have is not healing you, listen, go to a professional medical person. Ask God which one to go to. And then when he tell you where to go to that person. If he told you where to go, then listen to the person. If that's how he wants to use to heal you, praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, as you grow, greater things than this, Jesus said, you'll be able to do. Greater things than what Jesus did? You read what he did. Raise the dead. Hallelujah. He healed the blind. Healed the sick. Healed the lame. And then he has the audacity to tell us that greater things will you and I do them. Why doesn't it happen? The devil just comes and he just bombards us. And when he does, you just need to encourage yourself in the Lord and stand flat-footed. The fourth promise that God has made to us is he promised us material blessings. And I mentioned that a few minutes ago. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye what? Second? First. Go to God first. All right? Ask God what to do first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's promised you whatever material blessings you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and everything you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. And the fifth and the last promise, hallelujah, that he made is he promised to answer your prayers. He promised to answer your prayers. Now you need to practice these promises. Get this word in you. Know what your promises belong to you. He's promised to answer your prayers. Think about that for a moment. How many prayers is he going to answer? All of them. Ah! It's like having a genie in a bottle. All, better than that, huh? All of them. All of them. All of them. So why are we struggling? Why are we struggling? We spend so much time worrying and fretting and struggling. Why don't you just stand on the word of God? Let me give you a few scriptures that quotes this promise. First of all, Psalm 91:15 says, God says, he shall call upon me, talking about you and I. And what's God going to do? He said, I will answer him. So if you ask God a question, he's going to answer you. Well, preacher, I already know what to do. No, you don't. All you know is based upon your experience in life. He said, I will answer him if he called me. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's a promise. God don't just say words to say words. That's a promise. And he's big enough, powerful enough, come on now, to fulfill his promise. He's like the rich daddy that goes with you to the store. If you say you want it, he can do it. Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, this is God talking, this is Jesus talking to us. And I say unto you, everybody say, he's talking to me. And it shall be given. Ask, third time, ask, and it shall be given you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Our problem, listen, we're not encouraged in the Lord. The devil messes up our mind and we think we can handle every situation. He says, ask. Ask. What do you want? What do you want? Ask. And then John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, that's an important point. You shall ask whatever you want and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Five promises. Five promises. Rehearse those five promises of God. He promised to be with you. He promised that nothing will ever hurt you. Hallelujah. He promised to heal you. Hallelujah. He promised material blessings, and he promised to answer your prayers. God is a good God. I want you to remember as we close here today, I want you to remember that God is your strength. Not your education, not your relationship with powerful people, not your titles, but God is your strength. You got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord when things happen. Otherwise, you'll hurt yourself or you'll hurt somebody else that's close to you. The devil's coming. He's coming. He's coming now. I'm telling you, he's coming. As soon as he finds a way in, he's coming. He'll check the back door. He'll check the front door. He'll check the windows. He's coming. If he finds something open, he's coming. He's coming. I want you to remember that God is your strength. And I want to give you two verses to just put that in your heart. Psalms 27 and 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear?" Who? The Lord, listen at this, is the strength of my life. Whom should I be afraid? Stop trying to do it yourself, brothers and sisters. Stop it. Stop being afraid when the devil shows up. Stop it. Stop it. We told you earlier this morning that God said he'd be with you. Just go to your left or your right and just ask him what to do in every given situation. Any. And then Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him." Hallelujah. As we walk with God, you and I have to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen? Don't be defeated by negative things that's happening around you or with you through some other person. Don't do that. Don't do that. If things are not going right in any situation that you're in, all you got to do is turn to your left or to your right and ask God, "What do you want me to do?" Start encouraging yourself. Keep encouraging yourself. Don't let defeat get the best of you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word here today. We appreciate all that you've done, all that you're doing. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for just enriching and enlightening us as to your promise and your desire for our lives. We know that you have called us for a specific plan and a specific purpose. So, Father, we yield to it. We ask your forgiveness, Lord God, if we've allowed fear to take over, Lord God, fear to disrupt us, fear to control us, fear to cause us to make the wrong decisions. Father, from this moment on, collectively, we agree that we'll start encouraging ourselves when the need be. Hallelujah. And we will use your word to encourage us. Now, Father God, even as we go later today, Lord God, help us to make that list that's been spoken of today of all the